We're looking in Sunday school at spiritual gifts, and remember, this is not an intellectual pursuit to get people to worry about things. It's a study from Scripture, and if you know, or my approach is to have people at peace in mind with it and be comfortable with their position in Christ and their new birth, and in that function to not worry about things that are not needful. It's been a little bit misemphasized in some circles, and we've tried to alleviate any kind of angst that somebody might have as a result of this doctrine. Before we look at Scripture, let's look to the God of the Word and remembering that He is the source of this truth. Our Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We do thank You for the fact that in our country we can meet together. We can still proclaim Your Word. We don't have to edit it or forget any of it, that we can proclaim it as You have it in Your Scripture, and we thank You for that. Amen. If you turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I want to point out very quickly a few milestones that are important, and then we'll look at a few verses that help us interpret these verses based on these milestones. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and we're going to very quickly go through verses 7 through 11, and we're looking at the gift of apostleship as opposed to the office of apostleship. Now, when we get here, I'm going to emphasize the word gave and gifts in this passage. There's an awful lot here, but we want to emphasize that. Now, I want you to see when this happened. When did Christ give gifts? It was after His ascension into the third heaven. Ephesians 4:7, but unto each one of us, that's Paul including the reader. And remember, Paul in several of his epistles says that he's writing to Corinth, but not just those at Corinth, but to all that believe in Christ Jesus. That's important. So these letters were meant to be read specifically to a church, and we interpret them based on what church it was to and what problems he's correcting, but they're to all Christians. To each one of us, verse 7, Ephesians 4, is given grace, a result of a thing of grace, according to the measure belonging to the gift. There's the gift from Christ. Now we're going to chase this gift. Verse 8, wherefore He said, when He ascended on high, this is one of His ascensions then at the third in heaven, He led captivity captive, and He, that is Christ, gave gifts unto men. Now that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 9, now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended into the lower parts of the earth? Talking about His 3 days and 3 nights of death in the realm of His humanity. His human body was actually dead, and His human whole soul and spirit were in the upper shield. Verse 10, He that descended is the same that ascended. Now this is another ascension, far above the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave gifts, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelist and some pastor teacher. Now what it's saying here then is that He had to ascend into the third heaven before He sent gifts, these gifts. And He names one of them that we're looking at right now called apostle. That means that during His earthly ministry, the 12 and then the 13th did not have the gift of apostleship. They had the office of apostle. This is a very, very important concept. Now, very, very quickly, we went over a little bit of detail. Turn back to Matthew 10. In Matthew 10, this is the office of apostleship. And in Matthew 10, the second verse, what I want you to get in the second verse is that they're called the 12. Now, you need to know in interpreting the Gospels that even after Judas bites the dust, so to speak, they're still called the 12. So 12 is an important concept for the office of apostleship during Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, the word apostle means sent with a specific commission. Now, the commission that they were sent with is in verse 5 of the 10th chapter Matthew, where Jesus says, go forth, and he commanded them, say, go not to the Gentiles. So that can't be the dispensation of grace, which according to Acts 15 is primarily the Gentiles and Romans 11. And to the any and don't go to any cities of the Samaritans, that's half Gentile, half Jew, but go to the lost sheep. Now, the reason the nation Israel was lost is because they were in the place of blessing for 1,500 years, and then for 400 years, as Jesus is prophesying this, they've been out of that place of blessing. That's called the years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. I should mention, Schofield has some really good notes in between the Old Testament and the New Testament that speak to that. And here's what they're preaching, because we're going to see a change in ministry today. Verse 7, that you go and declare with authority, saying the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. So the office of apostleship, then, we could call it, based on this passage, was to the nation Israel. And so we call them the apostles to Israel. That's going to be different than the apostles to the church. Now, over in Mark, the third chapter, is again where you see him called the 12. I just want you to be familiar with the three passages. Mark, the third chapter, and the 12th verse, Mark 3, verse 14, you see the word ordained should be appointed. Mark 3:14, appointed the 12 that they should be with him and that he could send them forth. The sending them forth is the apostleship. Then if you go over to Luke 6, it's in Luke 6, that we see in verse 13 that there was a whole bunch of disciples. Disciples at this point means followers. Matthew 28, disciple changes for the fifth time. Let me just say, apostleship, the term changes either four or six times depending on how you count it. It just changes. But here it means follower. And later in Matthew 28, it's going to mean believer. So these are followers. There's more disciples in verse 13 of the sixth chapter of Luke than there are. And out of the disciples, the last part of verse 13, he chose 12. Now here's where they get their name, whom he named apostles. This is not the gift of apostleship. And then we have the names here, and remember that there are two James. How would you do that in English? Two Jameses? No, there are two called James, and there's two called Judas, and we'll keep them straight for you. Remember, there's a third Jude and a third James. We're going to pick them up later over in Matthew 13:55, who are the half-brothers of Christ. And we'll get to that now. Let's remember some milestones. Let's go to the book of Acts, because we're setting up the apostles to the nation or to the church in just a minute. In Acts, the first chapter, verses 1-3, you have Christ was shown around, verse 3, for 40 days speaking. Now watch, look at the last part of verse 3 in Acts, the first chapter. I'm just going to start in the middle. Being seen of them 40 days. So when we get to Acts 2, it's going to be 50 days after his resurrection. But for 40 days, he walked around speaking in things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. That's a different kingdom than the apostles to the nation Israel. Remember, they were speaking the kingdom of the heavens. Two different realms of authority. If you mix them up, well, I can't use modern politics. It would be like mixing up 1500 England and 1500 France. They didn't like each other too much. They had borders. And so it would be mixing up two kingdoms, which you can't do. And it'd be two different charges of ministry. So what I'm saying is, in Acts, the first chapter, in the third verse, note the different change of ministry. This is a different, let me be real exact. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he did, in the book of Luke, talk about, the Gospel of Luke, talk about the kingdom of God, but he talks about it in mystery form during his earthly ministry. This is no longer in mystery form when we come to Acts. So it's a different form as well. But it's a different charge than the original apostles. Now, if you turn over the page to verse 26, they're going to replace Acts 1:26. They're going to replace Judas Iscariot, the second Jude, Judas Iscariot, and they replace him with Matthias. Now, Christ doesn't do this. They vote him in. So it's an office. I should mention, and I showed you last week, where the apostles to the nation Israel keep offering, and I know what I'm talking about here, up through the third chapter of Acts, they're still offering the kingdom from the heavens to the nation Israel. We showed you that last week. Let's go over there in just a minute. Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and go. Let's go over the third chapter of Acts. Here's another milestone. In the transition, this is a general statement, which is just, it's very bare bones. There's some other things that could go along with it. But from chapter 3, John and Peter, who are both going to be apostles to the church, are very instrumental in the transition, Peter primarily. By the time we get to the 15th chapter, let me go ahead and show you that. Peter's no longer the bigwig. Turn over to the 15th chapter of Acts. By the time we get to the 15th chapter of Acts, the transition is completely, almost completely through. And now James is in charge, the half-brother of Jesus. We'll prove that to you again in a minute. Look at Acts 15:13. And after that, they held their peace. James answered. So this is the council at Jerusalem where they're making some decisions about how Gentiles should act before the written word that we call the New Testament. And if you look at verse 13 of the 15th chapter, James is in charge. And now turn down in the 15th chapter, the 19th verse, James is the one that gives the sentence. So we would say by the 15th chapter of Acts, I should mention the Catholic Church didn't get this transition. From the third chapter, John and Peter are predominant. Well, they both have the gift to the church, but they probably don't know it at that point. Up through the 10th chapter, and then about, there's a transition in the 9th chapter, Paul starts coming in the picture. By the 10th chapter, Peter is no longer the big pillar at, and we'll get into that in Galatians, where Paul has to correct him. At Jerusalem, and now James is taken over by the 15th chapter. James is in charge. How do I know? 15th chapter of Acts, verse 19, when the judgment's produced, he says, "Now my sentence is that we trouble them not which are among the Gentiles that are turned to God." So now he's making the decisions for the church of at Jerusalem regarding the Gentiles and how they're supposed to behave. I would mention to you one of the things that's really interesting is to go through the book of Acts, and I'll try and help you note them and note, oh, this is where Paul wrote this book. This is where Paul wrote this book. Well, one of the notations and don't fix it yet, but we'll show you later that James wrote the book of James around Acts 15. That's important because there's some more revelation that's going to come out. Now, James is fully aware of New Testament doctrine by the 15th chapter. He's just not aware that it applies to the Gentiles yet. And Paul and him will get into it, and then he'll eventually come around. Now, knowing this, how do I know which James this is? I just made it up because I'm against the church at Rome. No, turn over to Galatians, the first chapter and the 19th verse. And then we're going to go back to Acts. No, go back to 1 Corinthians. Galatians, the ninth chapter, or the first chapter and the 19th verse. This is when Paul goes down to Jerusalem. 19th verse, but the other apostles I didn't see any save James, the Lord's brother. I don't think you can get it a lot clearer than that. So that's James, who was in charge in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts of the church at Jerusalem, was Jesus' half-brother, and he was also an apostle. He is not then one of the James that are mentioned as the 12 apostles. Because, by the way, I should mention, I think pretty much by this time, the other two Jameses are dead. John's brother is dead, and the lesser, and then there's the other James. They're both dead by then. This is the half-brother of Jesus. Now, if we can keep in mind that there's two sets of apostles. Now, I hope you remember, and then we'll go to a couple verses and show you how this opens up some verses. Hope you remember that it is in Revelation 21:14 that we know there's 12 apostles to the nation, or to the church. 12 apostles, the office of apostleship to the Gentile, or to the, 12 apostles of the office of apostleship to Israel, and 12 with the gift of apostleship to the church. Two of which are common to both of those two sets of 12. Now, keeping that in mind, let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to show you the two sets of apostles in 1 Corinthians 15. And now you'll be able to get it. So that means when we see the word apostle in the New Testament, we want to be able to put Old Testament or New, or, you know, to Israel or to the New Testament apostles. Now, after giving the facts of the gospel, the bases on which we're saved in verse 5, did you hear what I just said? After giving the gospel in verse 5. After giving the gospel in verse 5. After giving the gospel in verse 5, he says, Paul and the Holy Spirit say, and he was seen of Cephas, that's the other name for Peter, and then the 12. Now, you don't have to mark yet until you actually see this with your own eyes, but I'm going to tell you, and then we'll prove it later on in this passage, that's the 12 to Israel. Because the Paul and the Holy Spirit aren't going to stutter here, okay? You'll see it. That's the 12 of Israel. Now, that includes Cephas, because, and that's the reason it uses the term Cephas instead of Peter, because it's taught to the 12 to Israel. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some have fallen asleep. Some bodies have died, but not the person. Verse 7. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Well, here's another verse that tells us James is an apostle. What apostles would that be? That's the apostles to the church. Now, we're going to need this later, because one of the qualifications to be an apostle to the church is they had to see the glorified and risen Christ. And Paul is going to say, we shouldn't get there today, but I want to set you up for it. Paul is going to say that he was kind of born in a different way because he saw Christ on the road to Damascus, but that's one of the basis for which he could still be an apostle to the church. So here's what we got. We got the apostles to Israel in verse 5, and we have the apostles to the church in verse 7, and I'm going to show you another proof in verse 8. But the reason we know that's the apostles to the church in verse 7, because it talks about James, the half-brother of Jesus, being one of these two sets of apostles. Now in verse 8, and lastly, he was seen of me, Paul. Now he's including himself of the apostles. He's the last, the word last is an adverb, lastly of the apostles. So the last apostle to the church that saw Jesus in the resurrected Jesus was Paul. That's what it's saying. And lastly, verse 8, he, Jesus, glorified and risen Christ, was seen of me, Paul, as one from a miscarriage, as a result of a miscarriage, in out of due time, in a time that's different. And that we'll get into that. That's over in Acts, the 9th chapter, in the 5th verse. But here's what you got to get. Verse 5, the apostles to the church. Verse 5, the apostles to Israel. Which one didn't see him after his resurrection? Judas, he's croaked. He croaked himself, actually. So that would be the 11. But that tells us that Matthias, and who was the other guy that they were thinking about voting in? Bartholomew, I think it was. The first chapter of Acts. Both of them had seen the risen Christ. So he had to be one of the 500. No, it was another Jude, verse 25 of Acts 1. Judas, that's just a different ending. Oh, no, he had three names. Joseph, verse 23, Barsabbas, and Justus, or Jude, Judas. So he had three names. So I was one-third right on him. So well, apparently he must have been one of the 500 that saw Christ after his resurrection. But here's the point we're trying to make in 1 Corinthians 15. You have the two sets of apostles there. Now what I'm going to do is going to sound a little dry, but I think I'm going to do this on the board, is we're going to document at least 11 of these 12 apostles to the nation Israel. And boy, my mind is wrong. To the church, we're going to document them from Scripture, and then we're going to go back and we're going to look at two in particular, who are Paul and Timothy later on. So here, let's get our 12 apostles to the church. You don't have, remember, we've got in Mark 3, Matthew 10, Luke 6, we got the list for the nation Israel, but to the church we have to go looking through the New Testament. Turn, if you will, to Romans, the 11th chapter. We could have a whole bunch of verses on this one. Romans, the 11th chapter. And let's look at the 13th verse. For I speak to you Gentiles, that's non-Jews, insomuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, or belonging to the Gentiles, and I magnify my ministry. So his primary apostleship was to the Gentiles. This is right before chapter 11, where he's going to say that the Gentiles are in the place of blessing and the Jews have been taken out. So he's to the, and Peter, we're going to see later, is primarily to the Jews, and as opposed to Paul. Some of these apostles, we don't even know where we don't even know what their ministry is because we don't have much mention of them. But I'm using Romans 11:13 for Paul. You can get it a whole bunch of places. The beginning of almost every gospel, he proclaims that he's an apostle. And I won't, oh yeah, here I wanted you to see to the Gentiles, which proves he's not from the other set. But let's do another verse just so we can show you that he belongs to the church. Let's see. Because there's no such thing as the nation or the apostles to the Israel being belonging to the church. And so if he mentions he's in several of the places, he'll mention that he's an apostle to the church. Apostle Jesus Christ to the church. Go over to Galatians, the first chapter, and the first and second verses. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but of Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him up from the dead. So he's a post-resurrection apostle, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches. So he's tying his apostleship to the churches. And this is, so these 12 very important are to the church. And now instead of the apostles of Jesus, they're apostles of Jesus Christ. An important distinction. I hope I should put this up here. Now instead of the kingdom of the heavens, they're the kingdom of God. Paul talks about that in the three times in 1 Corinthians and in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, he'll talk about the kingdom of God. Okay, now let's go back to Acts. Let's pick up another apostle. Acts, the 14th chapter. I should mention, the reason I'm writing this up on a chart, you won't find this on the Google, okay? I'm just telling you straight out. You won't. This isn't on the Google, on the interwebs. You can't get it. Barnabas, let's go over to Acts 14, verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 14. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, which was Zeus, and they thought that they were gods because they were doing... We'll get into the fact that apostles... Okay, here's two things to prove. We're going to start proving the apostles can't exist today, one of which is they had to see Christ, which is another proof that the fifth verse of 1 Corinthians 15 can't be part of the gospel, because if it's part of the gospel, you had to have seen the risen Christ, and nobody after the first generation could do that. So you couldn't have anybody saved after the first generation if the fifth verse of the 1 Corinthians was part of the gospel, if you follow the logic. These guys had three types of miracles they could perform. False apostles could have performed two of them. We'll get to that. Verse 12, Acts, the 14th chapter. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul, they called him Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. When the priest of Zeus, or Jupiter, which were before the city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, plural, Barnabas and Paul heard, they tore their clothes. And so here now we're going to pick up Barnabas as an apostle. Barnabas is going to be important because he's going to get Paul straight later on when Paul drifts. And I'm being very careful here to show you there's a verse for each of these guys. And we'll just call this one Acts 14:14. Okay, so we got Barnabas. Now, the next two are apostles to Israel and also to the church. Let's do Peter next. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 9:5. I chose that we could get Peter some other places, but I chose this one because I liked it. I like to prove celibacy is not in the Bible. and that Peter wasn't celibate, that he had a wife. He must have had a wife because he has a mother-in-law. And the guy would be pretty strange if he got a mother-in-law without a wife. So that's one of the reasons we picked this. And we can tie it to Barnabas, too. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9. And Paul is defending his own apostleship. Verse 5. Have we not power to lead about a sister and a wife, as well as other apostles, plural, as the brethren? Now, that's the brethren of the Lord. So that I'm going to tell you, but I haven't proved it yet. That's Jude and James, the brethren of the Lord. And Cephas, that's Peter. So Peter, Cephas had either a wife or a sister that he led around. Let's see, where's the one? Somewhere he has a mother-in-law, but wait a minute, is the... And brethren of the Lord, or as Barnabas, who's also an apostle, verse 6, having we not the power to forbear working? I was wrong. It wasn't a mother-in-law here. That's somewhere in another place, if I remember right. So here we're picking up Peter in 1 Corinthians 9:5. I want to show you a couple others for Peter as well. If you turn over to 1 Peter 1:1, 1 Peter 1:1, he proclaims himself an apostle, but I want you to see that he's an apostle not of Jesus, but he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:1, Peter, an apostle belonging to Jesus Christ, and then he talks about that he's apostle to the diaspora. Turn over to 2 Peter, the third chapter, 2 Peter, the third chapter, and the second verse. That you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Now, these would be New Testament prophets. Remember, over in Ephesians 4, he sent prophets. So there's a difference between Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets. So Old Testament prophets, I'm just going to tell you, had the Holy Spirit come upon them, and they saw visions, and they did things, and they prophesied. In the New Testament, it's actually a gift. There's a difference. Okay, the difference is the Holy Spirit came upon Old Testament people. He indwells New Testament people. That's one of the differences. I'm in the middle of 2 Peter 3:2. The holy prophets, New Testament, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, in the Gospels, when Jesus is offering the kingdom from the heaven, he's offering to rescue, that's the word Savior, the nation Israel politically and governmentally. That's the kingdom from the heavens. Here, it's talking about Savior in terms of a New Testament Savior like 1 Corinthians 15. So here's another one that documents Peter. Now I'm going to underline Peter because he is one of the ones that is in both sets of apostles. He had the office of apostle to Israel and the gift of apostleship to the church. Now there's one last one I want to talk about Peter because I'm trying to bring some individuality to these apostles. Turn over to Galatians, the second chapter, and the second verse. We'll pick up a little something about Peter and his apostleship. Ephesians 2:7. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcised, that uncircumcised would be Gentiles, was committed to me. Remember, Paul is over in Romans, the 11th chapter and 13th verse. He's the apostle generally, not specific, not exclusively, but generally to the Gentiles. That's this what that means, that he had the gospel to the uncircumcision. That's the Gentiles, was committed to me, Paul, and the ellipsis is a good italics. here as the gospel of the circumcision, that would be the Jews, was unto Peter. So Paul is primarily Gentiles. Peter is primarily Jews. They have other functions, because remember Peter in Acts got a vision of a bunch of unclean animals, and God gave him a vision, and Peter says, get that vision out of my mind. Those are unclean, as pig and stuff that he couldn't eat, crab, louis, lobster, a few things that were forbidden under law. And then he has to have a second vision, and then he's almost driven out in almost a mad kind of way over to Cornelius, which is over by Forest Grove, and he leads the whole family of Cornelius to the Lord, and then they all speak in foreign languages, proving that they get the Holy Spirit. So Peter does minister to Gentiles, but primarily he's to the Jews, and Paul does minister to Jews. In fact, wanting to minister to Jews when he wasn't supposed to gets him in trouble. Those are primary functions that they have. So we're going to use 1 Corinthians 9, although we could use those other verses that I showed you for Peter. Now the next one is going to have a star here too, because the next one's John. John, we have to infer and indicate that the scripture imply. But when you read 1 John, I'm just telling you straight out, 1 John has deeper doctrine than Paul ever gets into. He doesn't develop doctrine Paul didn't develop, but he takes Paul's the doctrine and he shows an even richer depth of meaning to it. So Paul dispensed the primary doctrine, but Peter and especially John come along and just really add leaves to the tree. So John is going to, by function, prove that he is laying the foundation. We'll get to that event again today. Let's go back there first before we do John. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter in the 20th verse. This is, if you note in your Bible, the apostles and prophets mentioned here are New Testament prophets and New Testament apostles. These are the gifts that we saw over in Ephesians 4:10. They weren't gifts prior to this. Now, this is the household of God, verse 19, second chapter of Ephesians, verse 20. And are being built, the household of God is being built upon the foundation, not of, but from the apostles, that's New Testament apostles, and prophets of Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone that orders round. So those are New Testament apostles and New Testament prophets. That's the gift of apostleship, building the foundation, of which we can see functionally John does. Now let's look at some verses, we're using our language correctly, that imply, and therefore we're going to infer, that Paul or that John was an apostle. Now I'm going to tell you something, but it's not my proof. In the early church, for the first 150, in fact, for the first 2,000 years of the church, nobody's ever doubted Paul's apostleship, or excuse me, John's apostleship. Nobody's ever doubted John's apostleship. But I'm not offering that as a proof. I'm getting the proof from the Bible, okay? But let's turn back to Galatians, the second chapter. And we saw a reference to him there. And we'll look at verse 9. Now, we're going to show you verses. In fact, I think we already have, but we're going to show them again. That say James is the half-brother of Jesus is an apostle. And we've already shown you verses that say Cephas or Peter is an apostle to the church. If John's name is listed in the same list, it would seem, it would imply he's an apostle. Okay? Galatians 2:9. And when James, remember James was the one in Acts 15 running the show at the church in Jerusalem, which is what Paul's referring to, and Cephas and John, who were deemed to be pillars. So they're the foundation, and John's right up there. Now, it doesn't say he's an apostle, but it implies that he's up on the same level as they are, and then you have that John had the right to tell Paul that he had the gift of apostleship. We'll get to that eventually. So to tell him that, he probably, it's a strong indicator that he was. Let's go back to Acts, the 8th chapter, and the 14th verse, Acts 8:14, and we can see that he's mentioned right along that John. Now, there are multiple Johns, but the John we're talking about here is not John the Baptizer. This is John, the brother of James, who was one of the apostles to Israel as well. Over in Acts 14, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, this is really had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. So John is mentioned right up there with Peter. If we go over to Revelation, the first chapter, what we're doing is seeing a preponderance of evidence that John was an apostle to the church. Revelation, the first chapter, John and the Holy Spirit write this book. So when he uses the first person, he's referring to himself. Revelation, the first chapter, in the first two verses. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, so God the Father gave it to God the Son, to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things he saw. So here you have the direct commission to John, and down in verse 9 would seem to be a fulfillment of a New Testament apostle. I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom. This is kingdom of priests. And patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony regarding Jesus Christ. And so this is, again, a strong indicator or preponderance of evidence that John was an apostle to the church. Back in 1 John, the first two chapters, or 1 John, the first two verses, show that he had one of the criteria to be an apostle was that they had to have seen Jesus personally, and we know he did because he was in Matthew 28. He was one of the 11, and in the last part of verse 1, it says he handled the word of life, and that he, I just thought of something, another proof. Let me see if I can get this off the top of my head. Back in Acts 3, John is involved in healing, and the man knows it in the 11th verse. I'm in Acts 3:11, and the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Now the account here basically has Peter doing the talking, but apparently this guy deemed that John was active in the healing as well, which would be another sign of the apostles. Now remember, there's no signs today. Let's get that, but we'll close with that. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. I think we can get it. 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 12th verse. Now, this is a verse that proves the credentials of a New Testament prophet. This proves the credentials of a New Testament apostle. Man, one of the things I want to start the morning service with is correcting a mistake I made. And I'm making more, so I'm having to correct myself 100 times. This is a verse that gives you the signs or the credentials of a New Testament apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle, New Testament apostle, were wrought among you in all patience. And this is three kinds of miracles. We'll eventually get there. Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Just as to tell you where we're going to go, signs point to something, wonders drew a crowd, and powers show authority. Over in Acts 3, when the guy that's healed attributes that to John as well as to Peter, it would imply that John showed the signs of an apostle. So here's where we're going, and we'll stop with this. I've given you multiple verses that seem, by a preponderance of evidence, to indicate that John's an apostle, which gave him credence to write New Testament books. I should mention that as well. Primarily, Galatians 2:9. But I never gave you a verse that said John was an apostle. Do you get where I'm being honest with Scripture? But we would say, since we got to find 12 of them, that he's right in there. And when we read the book of Revelation, and 1 John particularly, there's no way that he doesn't have the gift of apostleship, which was a revelatory gift. And if in Acts 3, if we're reading that correctly, that he was involved with healing that man, then he showed the signs of an apostle. So here's what's important. We'll finish this next week. No. In 2 weeks. What's important, what you need to take from this, and the reason we're doing this in a laborious manner, is that we're showing you that if you don't have two sets of apostles, then you're going to end up with over 20 apostles to the Israel, and you got issues. It's very easy, though, if you remember that the apostles to Israel were preaching the kingdom of the heavens, and the apostles to the church are laying the foundation for the kingdom of God. Two different charges. The word apostle means sent with authority, with a specific charge. Our Father, we thank you that Scripture is very clear that the apostles to the New Testament church and laying the foundation for the church are those that are ours. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, that they're all ours. They belong to us, and we thank you for that. Amen.